Maya, I've been digging through this massive report on AI in higher education, and there's something that completely caught me off guard. Remember how we assumed AI would mostly impact technical fields? Well, the humanities professors are actually racing ahead of everyone else in adoption. I'm talking about philosophy professors using AI for Socratic dialogue simulations, literature instructors having students debate with AI versions of historical authors.
Wait, hold on. The humanities departments? I would have bet money it would be computer science leading the charge.
That's exactly what I thought. But here's what's happening. And Aisha, you're going to find this fascinating as a CS senior. The technical departments are actually more cautious because they understand the limitations better. Meanwhile, humanities professors are diving in headfirst, completely reimagining how they teach critical thinking.
That's actually kind of brilliant, though. In my Ethics of AI course, we spent weeks debating whether these tools could genuinely enhance critical thinking or if they're just sophisticated copy machines. But you're saying humanities professors are already past that debate.
Not just past it, they're running full-speed experiments. I've got this systematic review here that documents how literature professors are using AI to generate counter-arguments to student essays in real time. Students submit a thesis about, say, symbolism in Gatsby, and within seconds they're getting challenged by an AI that forces them to defend their interpretation.
I need to jump in here. This is exactly what terrifies me. 15 years I've been teaching composition, and the whole point is the struggle, the messy human struggle of forming thoughts into coherent arguments. Now you're telling me we're outsourcing the Socratic method to machines?
James, I hear you. But think about scale. When I was teaching, I had 120 students. There was no physical way I could provide that kind of instant, personalized feedback to everyone.
That tension, innovation versus tradition, it's the fault line running through every institution I've researched. The data shows departments splitting into camps, and it's not along the lines you'd expect. Young adjuncts are sometimes the most skeptical, while tenured professors near retirement are experimenting wildly.
Can I share what it's like from our side? Because this split you're talking about, we feel it in every classroom. Monday, I'm in a traditional lecture where phones are banned and we're taking notes by hand. Tuesday, I'm in a seminar where the professor has us fact-checking our discussions with AI in real time. It's cognitive whiplash.
That inconsistency came up repeatedly in my research. There's this paper from Quebec about writing in the age of AI, Pensée l'écriture à l'ère de l'intelligence artificielle, and it highlights how French universities are taking a completely different approach than Anglophone institutions. They're focusing on AI as a collaborative writing partner from day one, while many US schools are still debating whether to allow it at all.
Of course, there's inconsistency. We don't even have consensus on what we're preparing students for anymore. Are we teaching them to write without AI because that's a fundamental skill? Or are we teaching them to write with AI because that's their future reality?
Why does it have to be either or?
Actually, Maya, that brings up something crucial I found. The institutions seeing the best outcomes, and by that I mean student engagement, critical thinking scores, and actual learning retention, they're the ones treating AI like we treated calculators in math. You learn the fundamentals first, then you learn to use the tool intelligently.
That calculator analogy is perfect. In my algorithms course, we had to implement sorting algorithms by hand before we could use libraries. But here's what's different. AI isn't just a tool that gives you answers. It's a tool that can fabricate plausible-sounding nonsense. I've watched classmates submit papers with completely made-up citations because they didn't verify what the AI generated.
There's actually a Nature article about this exact phenomenon. They call it a technological folie à deux, where humans and AI create these feedback loops of mutual delusion. The student trusts the AI's confidence, the AI reflects back the student's assumptions, and suddenly you've got a paper arguing that Shakespeare wrote Python code.
Laughing. Okay, that's extreme, but I see it. When I was teaching, the biggest challenge was getting students to question their sources. Now they have to question their tools, too.
This is my point exactly. We're adding layers of complexity when students are already struggling with basic critical thinking. I had a student last week who couldn't distinguish between a primary and secondary source, but they're using ChatGPT to enhance their analysis.
James, your frustration is echoed across the data. But here's what's interesting. The systematic review I mentioned found that when AI is integrated thoughtfully, students actually develop stronger critical thinking skills because they have to constantly evaluate and verify. It's like intellectual weight training.
I can vouch for that. My best learning experience this semester was in a philosophy course where we had to argue against an AI that was trained on the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy. You couldn't just make assertions. You had to actually understand the concepts because the AI would call you out on logical inconsistencies.
That's exactly the kind of pedagogical innovation the research highlights as effective. But Maya, you look skeptical.
I'm thinking about equity. These sophisticated uses of AI, they require infrastructure, training, time for faculty development. What about community colleges? What about adjuncts teaching 5 courses at 3 different schools?
You've hit on possibly the biggest finding in my investigation. The digital divide isn't just about access to technology anymore. It's about access to thoughtful implementation. Elite universities are hiring AI pedagogical consultants, while community colleges are still debating whether to update their plagiarism policies.
And this is where I get angry. We're creating a two-tier system where wealthy students learn to leverage AI creatively, while everyone else just learns to avoid getting caught by detection software.
That's already happening. I have friends at state schools where AI use is completely banned, while here we have professors encouraging us to use it as long as we document our process. How is that preparing everyone equally for the future?
The research suggests it's not, and institutions are starting to realize it. There's this race happening, not just to adopt AI, but to figure out what pedagogical changes actually stick. The paper on LLM use and critical thinking found that surface-level adoption, just adding AI to existing assignments, often makes learning worse. But fundamental redesigns of how we teach and assess can be transformative.
Can you give me a concrete example? Because fundamental redesign sounds expensive and time-consuming.
Sure. One university completely reimagined their freshman composition course. Instead of traditional essays, students create argument maps where they use AI to generate opposing viewpoints, then have to systematically refute each one with evidence. The AI becomes a sparring partner, not a ghostwriter.
That sounds amazing, but also exhausting. Every assignment becomes this meta-cognitive exercise where you're not just thinking about the content, but about your thinking process.
Which is exactly what education should be. But, and this is a big but, it requires students who are already comfortable with that level of abstract thinking. What about the student who's working 2 jobs and just trying to pass?
The data actually addresses that. When implementation is done well, with proper scaffolding, working class students often benefit the most because they finally have access to the kind of personalized feedback that wealthy students get from tutors.
When implementation is done well, is doing a lot of heavy lifting in that sentence.
Fair point. And that's where we see the biggest variance. Some institutions are providing extensive faculty training, creating AI literacy curricula, building ethical use guidelines. Others are just sending out panicked emails about plagiarism detection.
Can I share something that might sound controversial? I think professors overestimate how much we're using AI to cheat and underestimate how much we're using it to learn. My study group uses AI like an always available TA. We ask it to explain concepts different ways, generate practice problems, check our understanding.
But how do you know if its explanations are correct?
We don't always, but neither did the TAs who were just a year ahead of us. At least with AI, we're forced to verify everything, which actually makes us more critical consumers of information.
This generational split in perception came up repeatedly in my research. Digital natives like Aisha see AI as just another information source to be evaluated, but many faculty see it as fundamentally different and potentially dangerous compared to traditional resources.
I think both perspectives have merit. When I was teaching, I saw how technology could enhance learning, but also how it could become a crutch. The question is, are we teaching students to walk with AI or lean on it?
The Quebec paper makes an interesting argument about this. They propose that writing with AI is becoming its own literacy, like learning to write with word processors changed how we compose. It's not about dependence, it's about developing new competencies.
New competencies, fine. But what about the competencies we're losing? The ability to sit with uncertainty, to struggle through confusion, to have original thoughts without immediately checking them against a machine.
Professor, with respect, I think you're romanticizing the past. I've watched lectures from the 70s. Students weren't all deep thinkers struggling beautifully with uncertainty. They were copying from encyclopedias and hoping the professor didn't notice.
Laughing, Isha's got a point. But James, your concern about lost competencies is documented in the research. There's evidence that over-reliance on AI can atrophy certain cognitive muscles. The question is, which muscles matter most for the future our students will inhabit?
And who gets to decide that? Because from what I'm hearing, individual professors are making these choices in isolation, creating this patchwork of pedagogical experiments.
That's exactly right. And it's why the most successful implementations involve department-wide or institution-wide strategies. The Future of Teaching and Learning report I've been citing emphasizes that coherent policy is essential. Students need consistent expectations, and faculty need shared resources.
Easier said than done when you're dealing with academic freedom and disciplinary differences. What works for computer science might be disaster for creative writing.
But isn't that true for all teaching methods? We don't use the same approach for lab sciences as we do for literature seminars.
The research supports Aisha's point. Disciplinary context matters enormously. Engineering programs are using AI for instant feedback on problem sets. History departments are using it to simulate primary source analysis. Language departments are creating conversational partners. The innovation is in adapting the tool to the learning objectives, not forcing a one-size-fits-all approach.
I'm starting to see why you called this a dimension derby, Alex. It's not just innovation racing against tradition. It's all these different aspects of education competing for attention and resources.
Exactly. And what's fascinating is how different institutions are betting on different horses. Some are racing to implement the latest tools. Others are racing to preserve what they see as timeless pedagogical values. A few are trying to run both races simultaneously.
Which sounds like a recipe for exhaustion. Faculty are already stretched thin. Now we're supposed to become AI experts on top of everything else.
But couldn't AI actually help with that workload? I know professors who use it to generate first drafts of assignment rubrics, create practice problems, even help with grading consistency.
The workload question is complex. Short term, yes, there's a learning curve that adds work. Long term, many faculty report time savings. But, and this is crucial, only if they're given time and support for that initial learning.
Which brings us back to resources and equity. The institutions that can afford to give faculty that time and support pull ahead while others fall behind.
The research is unequivocal about this. Without systematic support, AI adoption tends to increase inequalities rather than decrease them. The schools that were already well-resourced get more innovative, while struggling institutions get more struggling.
So what's the path forward? Because what I'm hearing is a lot of problems and not many solutions.
The evidence points to several key strategies. First, institutions need to move beyond panic policies to thoughtful integration. Second, faculty development can't be optional. It needs to be supported and compensated. Third, student voice has to be part of the conversation.
Yes, we're the ones navigating these inconsistent policies every day. We have insights about what actually helps us learn versus what just makes assignments more complicated.
What about assessment? Because that seems like the elephant in the room. How do we evaluate learning when students have AI assistance?
The most innovative approaches I've seen completely reimagine assessment. Instead of testing what students can produce alone, they test how well students can direct, evaluate, and improve upon AI output. It's assessing critical thinking and judgment rather than solo production.
Which sounds nice in theory, but how do you actually grade that?
In my technical writing class, we submit our conversations with AI along with our final papers. The professor evaluates our prompting strategies, how we verified information, and how we integrated AI suggestions with our own ideas.
That transparency model shows up repeatedly in successful implementations. It's not about catching cheating, it's about making the thinking process visible.
I like that reframing, moving from gotcha to show me your work.
The systematic review found that transparent AI use actually improves metacognition. Students become more aware of their own thinking processes, but it requires a cultural shift in how we think about academic integrity.
Fine. I'll admit some of this sounds promising, but what about the mistakes we're going to make along the way? Educational experiments have real consequences for real students.
You're absolutely right. The research acknowledges this. We're essentially running live experiments on entire cohorts of students, but the alternative, refusing to adapt, might be worse.
From a student perspective, I'd rather be part of an experiment that's trying to prepare us for the future than stuck in a system that pretends AI doesn't exist.
The challenge is making sure those experiments are thoughtful and evidence-based, not just throwing technology at problems.
Which is why the research component is so crucial. We need to be studying what works, sharing findings across institutions, and adjusting based on evidence. The siloed approach many schools are taking is inefficient and potentially harmful.
Assuming we can agree on what working means, are we measuring student satisfaction, learning outcomes, job placement, critical thinking skills?
All of the above, ideally. The multidimensional nature of education means we need multidimensional assessment of our innovations.
Can I make one final point? We keep talking about preparing students for the future, but we're living that future now. I'm applying for jobs where AI fluency is expected, not optional. The gap between classroom and workplace expectations is already wide and growing.
That's a sobering thought to end on.
But also an energizing one. The research shows we're at an inflection point. The decisions institutions make in the next few years will shape pedagogical practices for decades. We can either be intentional about that shaping or let it happen to us.
When you put it that way, I suppose resistance feels less noble and more like negligence.
The goal isn't to eliminate healthy skepticism, James. It's to channel it productively. Question the tools, question the methods, but also question our assumptions about what education should be.
And keep students like Aisha in the conversation. They're not just consumers of education, they're partners in its evolution.
Exactly. We're ready for that partnership. The question is whether institutions are ready for us.
Based on my research, some are, some aren't, but all are grappling with these questions. The race isn't just about who adopts AI fastest. It's about who does it most thoughtfully, most equitably, and with the clearest vision of what education should become. The dimensions we're comparing, innovation and tradition, efficiency and depth, access and quality, they're all part of a larger question about the purpose of higher education in an AI-augmented world. What's clear from the data is that we can't afford to sit this race out.